Hi, my name is Lulu, and this is the Teaching Mums podcast, Coffee Break with Lulu. And if you're listening now, you're already doing an incredible job. So it's been a really long time, actually, since I have recorded or shared a podcast, and quite a few sort of interesting things have been going on. But I suddenly realised this morning it's the 25th of October, which means it's exactly 8 weeks until Christmas. Now, I'm incredibly excited about this, but I thought it would be time to talk a little bit about Christmas. So today's episode is called Don't Overdo It This Christmas, Darling. So we'll chat through a few things. First of all, housekeeping. If you're not already following us on Instagram, it's at Teaching Mums on Instagram and Teaching Mums on Facebook. You can follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to this podcast. You can subscribe, like, or follow. And there's a Q&A. You can ask me questions. If you'd like to have your own coffee break with me, Lulu, then please get in touch. marketing@teachingmums.com. So let's talk through a few things. So for Christmas, two things can happen. People can end up having a really wonderful time because they're quite relaxed. Maybe they plan things ahead, or maybe they don't have the burden of cooking or shopping or cleaning or doing anything, and they can just show up at a friend or a relative's home and enjoy the day. Other people end up getting really burnt out at Christmas because they're doing everything: cooking, shopping, cleaning, hosting, serving, loving, working. Some people will be working over the Christmas holidays. And I think sometimes it can cause quite a lot of anxiety. And then there's another group of people, which I didn't mention actually. I said two things. This is the third thing, is that people can be quite lonely at Christmas because either they're a single parent and have to sort of split their children between their side of the family and an ex-partner's side of the family. There are couples without children who maybe have lots of godchildren, nieces and nephews, and would like to spend some of their Christmas break with them. There are couples who don't have any children, who don't have nieces and nephews, who don't have godchildren, that may find Christmas difficult. There are single people, single as in no partner, not married, not looking, and maybe not even interested necessarily being in a relationship. So I think Christmas is also a really good time not to suddenly be a really nice person, because I think work on that the whole year, am I right? Okay. But I think it's really important to think about what Christmas means for different people. Now, lots of you will already know, I became a Christian in 2001. And I didn't love Christmas before I became a Christian, but I definitely did, after becoming a Christian, realise what the impact of Christmas is. Of course, it's wonderful to have lovely food and gifts and presents, but ultimately, Christmas is a reminder that God decided that we needed something more than what we could see, and he decided to send Jesus Christ as a gift to us as a baby at Christmas, which is Christ. And the Mass is the gathering of people. Christ has changed the sound of the word from Christ. Christmas, that's what Christmas is about. And some of you might think, okay, Lily, you know, that's really helpful or really unhelpful. But I think if you have in your mind that Christmas is actually about something that was done for you, it immediately changes the posture, like the current state of your heart. It can make you feel incredibly grateful because somebody loved you beyond all reason and beyond measure, loved you so much that they wanted to give you something that would mean if you accepted this thing or this gift, you would have joy and eternal life and somebody to do life with whilst you're living. So that's how I see Christmas now. And I don't always get it right. I have had many Christmases where I've completely blown my budget, much, much, much to my husband's annoyance, overspent, overeaten, all the overs. And I think now Well, this Christmas is the first time I've actually taken stock. And I just said to myself, seriously, don't ever do it this Christmas, darling. And so my encouragement to you is just looking at a few things together. Really quickly, number one, priorities. Number two, budget. Number three, energy level. Especially if you have relatives with additional needs. If you have a spouse that has accessibility needs or additional needs, I think you have to timetable in extra margin, so more time. Things will not be harder for you, because I think that makes it sound quite negative, but you may need to make allowances for the fact that you may need more energy if you are caring for another adult and or caring for children who also have additional needs, because you are doing your normal job as a parent or a spouse, and then you're doing extra things if that person is not able to look after themselves independently. So energy levels will vary from home to home. And then the last thing is friendships. I find friendships incredibly difficult, and I always have done. My family and I moved around a lot when I was little, so I was never really in the same place long enough to feel settled, and that has followed me to my adult life. And so I think that if you're thinking about friends, and this might sound unpleasant, but if you're thinking about your friends, I think when it comes to Christmas, really, really invest time in people that, not that can necessarily give you something back, but people that you really consider, that you think love you. And also make time for people that are difficult to love. But what you don't want to do is spend all of your emotional energy, okay, all of your energy reserve on people that are draining. That's my point. And it might be that the people that you love the most are the most draining. And now, if that's you, I think it's okay for you to plan in time. I call them 0 days. And on those 0 days, my phone goes off. People that are, you know, really close to me, my immediate family, can get hold of me if they need to. But I do tell them a couple of days in advance, for the next day or two, I won't be available. I'm safe. I'm home. I'm okay. But I need a couple of days where I'm not in touch with anybody. And I'll catch up with you after that. And so when you're thinking about your friends, there are people that really, really love you. And I think it's important at a time like Christmas, where things can be really difficult or lonely or busy, invest time and spend time with people that just want to love you. And also have in your mind that it's always worth spending a little bit of time with people that are difficult to love. Because what you're doing is saying to God that, or society, that nobody is beyond loving. Nobody is beyond loving. Okay, so priorities. What are your priorities? So my priorities at Christmas are time. I'd like to spend time with my husband. I'd like to spend time with my two children. I'd love to spend time with my parents. I'd love to spend time with my siblings. And I do have a couple of close friends that I don't necessarily get to see during term time, so Christmas is quite a good time to sort of see them. But I think now is a good opportunity for everybody to think, well, what are my priorities this Christmas? Your priorities might be travelling because your family lives abroad, or maybe you worked all year round and this is your only opportunity to get out of the UK. So just think through, what are your priorities? Be fair, be honest, and be kind to yourself too. Budget. What's your budget? I know people find it quite difficult to talk about money, but I think honestly, girls, dads, if you have money, like, that's absolutely okay. But still set a budget. If you have got a large disposable income and you know that you can be away, for example, from the 16th of December until the 6th of January, and that you're not going to feel the pinch of that, then do it. You know, make the time and the budget to do the things that you can really enjoy. of course, be generous, you know, with your time and with your family and things like that. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with being able to afford something that other people can't afford. And the other side of that coin is to say, if there's something that you really want to do that you can't afford to do yet, can I just say, I hope I'm not out of line by saying this, but it won't always be that way. Honestly, I encourage you to believe. I encourage you to dream big. I encourage you to have hope. I pray. I do ask God for things. I do say to God, actually, would you help us to do this particular thing? Or would you give me courage to believe this? Or would you give me wisdom to prepare towards or prepare for this? So if you're in a situation where anything, or say to yourself, Lulu, there's no way my family and I can afford to go away at Christmas. It's just too expensive right now. I think that's also okay. But I wonder if there's a time where you would be able to do that. Why don't you make a mood board, or, why don't you journal about what your ideal Christmas would look like? And maybe take one thing from there, even if it's a type of meal or a theme or an outfit, or, you know, everybody wearing the same pajamas. Take something really small from your big picture and try and start putting it into place with the budget that you have this year. Energy levels. Now, I shared briefly that there are some families where the spouse may have accessibility needs or additional learning needs. So let's say, for example, if the mother has additional learning needs, the husband, if she's married, will have to, of course, look after himself, look after his spouse, if she's not independent in some ways, and then care for those children. So that husband would need much larger margins than somebody who had who is in a family where both adults are independent. And the same again for people with children with additional needs. Be really generous with yourself and with those children, because what I've learned from my experience with dealing with children with additional needs is that 9 times out of 10, they really, really don't know, and they don't understand. They do not understand that sometimes they're doing things wrong. Of course, some of them do, and sometimes they do, but on the whole, they usually just want to be good. They usually just want to listen. But I have learned in the past sort of 5 or 6 years with something like global speech delay or non-hearing child, it's really important to understand that they need extra time. So for example, I've planned a trip to the Science Museum this week, and we have to be there for between 2 and 2:15. Now, I'm not brilliant at rushing, and my little 6-year-old is not brilliant at hurrying, and so if we ever have to go anywhere, we always have to leave much earlier than I would need to if he didn't have additional needs. Now, I know you may be thinking, okay, well, he's only 6, why wouldn't you just leave enough time to travel anyway? And I suppose you could, but I think it's important to take a step back and plan ahead and just say, because this would normally take an hour, this tiny person, or maybe a teenager with an additional need, it doesn't have to be a tiny person, it could be a young person or an adult that you're caring for. If something normally takes a person an hour, you have to say to yourself, if this person is non-hearing or non-verbal, this could take an extra hour. And if you plan that time in, you're less likely to be frustrated by disruptions, traffic jams, delays with the transport. You're less likely to lose your temper. And of course, these are guidelines only, but I think it's important, with Christmas fast approaching, have in your mind that if there's anybody in your family that has an additional need, anybody that you are responsible for, I'm not talking about your entire family, I'm talking about people that you could say on a day-to-day basis you have to care for. Maybe you're a foster mum, maybe you have adopted children, maybe you have a special guardianship order. Anybody that you are legally or financially or emotionally responsible for, those are the people that you have to make allowances for in terms of energy levels. If you know that they're prone to meltdowns around dinner, it's not that you shouldn't go out at dinner, but I would say have snacks ready before dinner so that it takes the edge off. It saves you, you know, having a difficult time with them in public, and it also means you're able to go out with them. So energy levels are really important. Try and get lots of sleep where you can, and make space in your day where you're actually doing nothing. And I think it's really important, and I learned this during lockdown. I learned some, what were they called? It was like a script. I found this script online. It's actually on Twinkle, on how to say no. So saying things like, oh, I'd really love to play with you now, but I'm actually quite tired, so you can play alone and I will play with you later, in a really firm voice. For children who constantly demand your attention all day, because what you're saying to them is that A, they're valuable, but B, you're also valuable. Another sentence that I learned from the script is, I'm actually a bit too tired to play that game, so you have two choices. You can play on your own, or you can wait for me to get my energy back, which means I'll need to rest, and then I can play with you later. And actually, you're saying no. But you're saying it in such a way that A, they understand that you're feeling a bit tired or a bit poorly, but B, it's not that you don't want to play with them. And I think that can be used with adults, it can be used with teenagers, it can be used with little children. Instead of just saying, no, not right now, no, mummy's too tired, no, daddy's too tired, no, nana's too tired, you can actually say to them, I'd love to play with you, but I'm quite tired, you can still play on your own. If you want to wait, I can play with you later. That was really, really helpful. So thank you, Twinkle. I chatted to you about friends and, you know, of course, I don't know everything and I don't profess to know everything. But in terms of friendships, like I said, allow people to love you. Allow people to love you. Spend time with people who are truly invested in you over Christmas, but also have, you know, pockets. Think of, you know, the pocket tissue. They're really small, but they're really valuable. Having a pocket of time to spend with people that are difficult to love. And if you're a praying person, if you're a Christian, ask the Holy Spirit to help you and just say, look, God, I don't know how to be nice to this person because they make me feel uncomfortable. And I'm not talking about you being unsafe. I mean, you feeling uncomfortable because you don't know how to interact with them. Maybe there's an old grudge. Maybe there's bad feeling. But you can actually ask God for help with that, and spend time with people that you normally wouldn't be able to spend time with because you find them difficult. Don't avoid difficult things. Face it. And it does get easier. And for anybody listening who isn't a Christian, I'd encourage you 8 weeks before Christmas to consider becoming a Christian. Think through what it means. Do your research on Jesus Christ. If you have time, go to Spotify. There are lots of audio Bibles there, and just listen to the Book of Matthew. The nativity story is not just a fictitious story about a young girl who had a baby that became Jesus. Jesus Christ's story is actually a long timeline that began at the beginning of time. In fact, it began before time, but we won't go into that now because it's not a theology podcast. But all I'm saying to you is, if you're not already a Christian, I'd encourage you girls, guys, to think about becoming a Christian. And you might say to me, well, you know, how do I do that? And I would say the first step is just acknowledging God for who he is, and just out loud, just saying, God, I don't know you, and I'd like to know you. And the Bible says the only way to know you is through Jesus Christ. And so I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. I accept Jesus as my saviour. I believe that he died on the cross for me. And I want to be a Christian. I want to be part of the Christian family. I want to be part of the Christian faith. Please help me to live for you and with you in your name. Amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer, your life will not change overnight, because that's just not how it works. But I've been a Christian for 23 years, and I prayed that prayer in 2001, and my life has never been the same again. And so my encouragement to you is, if you did pray that prayer, find a local church, Bible-believing church, a church that believes that there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, a church that worships Jesus as Lord, a church with love and laughter and truth, and make some Christian friends. Of course, you can email me. I'll be your Christian friend. so if you're praying for the first time, please just email me info@teachingmoms.com and just say, "Hi, Lulu. I've decided to become a Christian and I don't know where to start. I'd love to hear from you." And because as much as I'm talking to you about friends, Jesus Christ is also your friend. And I just think without him, Christmas is a complete waste of time. So that is all from me, my beautiful people. My final thought this morning actually comes from the book of Samuel. So Samuel was a prophet, and his mum was named Hannah. Samuel was the first child that she was able to conceive after being infertile for many, many years. And so Samuel wrote these two books. According to history, he wrote these two books, 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. But in the book of 2 Samuel, I think Samuel has already died. So there's someone in place taking on, I suppose, a similar position to him called Nathan, who had the privilege of speaking and advising the king and sharing what God thought with the king. And the king at the time was David. And so I want to read to you 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 11. And so the context is David is king and he's now settled after war, after oppression. Okay, verse 11 says, "Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies." And so it's basically the end of a sentence is a follow-on. God has given David rest from all of his enemies. So it doesn't necessarily make sense on its own, because you'd have to read the whole, you know, the whole chapter. But what I wanted to say is that God is the one, that gave David the rest from his enemies. And then it says, he will make you a house. Also, the Lord tells you he will make you a house. So Nathan has come to relay this message to David to say, God has given you rest from your enemies and he will make you a house. And I thought to myself, well, what does make you a house mean? It could mean lots of things. It could mean building a legacy. It could mean, you know, providing a safe home, security. And I think in this context, making someone a house means establishing their family name. And I thought two things. Well, how does that relate to you? A parent, a mum, a dad, a carer, a nana, a granddad. How does this relate to you? Well, I suppose this relates to you in that is that I believe that God can give you rest from your woes. God can give you rest from your enemies. But also God can help you establish your home this Christmas. So I think in this 8-week countdown to Christmas, would you consider that building a home is also part of building memories for your loved ones, your children, your grandchildren, if you're a grandparent, your spouse? Building a house takes a lot of time and commitment and responsibility. But in this passage, God is actually promising David that he would be the one that would institute that. And translating in real terms, I think what we can take from this is that God's design or God's blueprint for things is always the best, and what we can do to lighten that load is actually take on board what he said, take instruction and wisdom from him and allow him to do what he does best. Let me pray for you. Father God, so thank you so much for the people that have taken time to listen today. Thank you for the hope that you've given me. I always wonder, you know, what exactly would be the right thing to say at a time like this? And there's so many things happening in the world that we can't look at, we can't think about. It's hard to speak of, but I'm asking you to bring peace to all those families that are struggling right now, all those families in war-torn countries, would you bring peace and would you bring help quickly to those people? And to the ones who are listening to this podcast, for those who are not Christians yet, would you bless them and help them to know you in a way that they understand? And for those of us who are already Christians, would you help us to remain grounded and remain focused on the love that you gave to us through Christ as a gift at Christmas? Thank you so much for this incredible privilege I have to share. Have your way in me, in my family. I just pray for anybody who's listening, who's expecting. Would you bless them and honour them? Give their babies, whether multiples or one, first baby, fourth baby, good health. Bless the marriages and the homes that are represented in the audience today and those listening. If there are people single and seeking, would you bless them also as spouses? If there are any people who are divorced, would you come in and walk alongside them and bring peace and clarity and light? Marriage is a good thing and it's honourable among all. So would you make the good things known that you desired for human beings to enjoy? Thank you so much, Father, in your name. Amen. Okay, beauties, that's the end of the podcast. And so three things that you can do. You can follow at Teacher Mums on Instagram. You can visit our bookshop, which is the Scholastic Bookshop. If you go over to the Instagram, our Instagram page, at Teaching Mums, there is a link there. If you'd like to get in touch with me and have your own coffee break with me, as I said, you can email marketing@teachingmums.com. That's marketing@teachingmums.com. Until next time, have a lovely, lovely day. And like I said right at the beginning, you're already doing an incredible job. Bye-bye.